This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Why do we offer Qasr Salah in Hajj? Is it because we are travelers?
Yeah, you know, it is because we are travelers. When you come to Makkah al-Mukarramah, you keep moving. You are not going to stay in one place. So you are traveler as long as you keep moving. So wherever you are in Makkah, Zuhr, Asr and Isha, pray two rakah. But if you pray behind the Imam, then follow him. If Imam does four rakah, so like whenever you pray behind the Imam of Haram, pray as he prays. If you pray alone, then make your four rakah, two rakah. Or your Imam is a traveler, then make four rakah, two rakah because you are a traveler. But otherwise, you know, behind the Imam, you do what Imam does.
What is the view slash ruling on touching or kissing the Kaaba if it is easy to do so? Is this virtuous? With the view of doing so out of love for Allah?
You know, the virtuous, you know, the sunnah is to kiss, you know, black stone or touch it. But it's so much crowd and hurting any believer or pushing people is sinful. To, in order to get a sunnah or something recommended, you do a sin. It's not, you know, wise thing. I will not advise you to do something like that. There's the murtada, part of the place where, you know, a door of the Kaaba is. People, you know, there and the karai and all those things. That's good, really. But the thing is also, again, there is so much crowd. So don't worry. If you can't touch the Kaaba, nothing happens. Still, your Hajj is complete. You know, it is more your mental thinking, mind thinking. You know, in mind, if you love Allah, ask Him, be disconnected from everything, that what people touch all those things, and they become proud that I touched the stone. They don't get any reward by just showing off. So if you don't get anything, nothing happens. Your Hajj is still complete.
You mentioned in the first half that, you know, the goal of Hajj is to become close to Allah. Hajj is a one-time thing, but, you know, my question is rather, you know, you try and become close to Allah on a regular basis, but still, you know, you feel you're not doing enough, and you have this heavy feeling in your heart that you know, my efforts are not enough, and I'm not good enough. So how can we fight it? How can we, you know, have a certain sense of calmness? That, you know, it's fine, it's okay. Whatever you do, it's fine, and Allah will do the rest. How to calm ourselves?
You know, think really, we have to think really that we have not done enough. Then we can keep moving. If you know you have done enough, then you stop. To keep thinking like that. But don't lose the hope. The one thing comes to the mind, people, whatever I do, Allah does not accept. You know, I'm still same. Quite a point. No. Everything you do, you accepted. But Allah is so great, you never can reach to Him. So you have to make as much effort as possible. Every time you do, you become nearer to Him. Nearness to Allah has no limit. You know, for example, everything in this world has a limit. So you come to, you know, London, you have to stop somewhere because you can't go beyond that. Allah has no limit. Day and night to do ibadah, millions of life you get, prophets and messengers, Allah has no limit. So don't worry about that. Simple thing, as long as you keep worshipping Him, obeying Him, and, you know, doing sabr and patience, you are nearer to Him. He accepts everything. That's why He made you to do all this ibadah. To understand, He accepts everything. He's not a miser. But always don't look that you have done too much. No, always think, you know, there are people better than you. Keep moving on. Keep working hard until you die. Don't lose the hope. You know, be encouraged. Keep working hard. Don't stop anywhere.
Tawaful idafa and vida. Do you do circle around Kaaba seven times like you did in Umrah?
Every tawaf is seven round. Every tawaf. Tawaf means seven time. So even nafl tawaf, you want to do more tawaf. Once you start tawaf, you have to do seven times. Every tawaf must be seven times. Seven times around the Kaaba, then your tawaf ends. So you start from one corner of the stone and you end there seven times. Every tawaf, same.
And do you need to do the sa'i as well for the idafa and vida?
No. After tawaf al-wada, there's no sa'i. Sa'i is only in Umrah and Hajj. But if you do tawaf al-wada, it only tawaf is you can do alone. Sa'i is not ibadah. Sa'i you cannot do alone. Sa'i always done with the tawaf before that in Umrah or Hajj. You can't do sa'i just on its own. Tawaf you can do. Tawaf like the prayer. Tawaf you can do as much as possible. But don't make yourself too tired.
Is it allowed to do work-related activity, i.e. minimal slash important only, or should one disconnect completely regardless?
You know, people can be connected to Allah even with their businesses, and they can be still disconnected with all the businesses. So even the Quran says that if people do some business during the Hajj time, it's allowed. It's not that it's haram, but don't be connected with that. Meaning your heart should not be there. You can think, well, I do minimum and then I move to that. So people, if there are some important meetings or something like that, we can do while you're staying there. Yeah, you can do it aloud. It does not harm. But, you know, it's more mental thing, really. Your mind should be connected to Allah, disconnect from everything else. So needed things that you need, necessary, you can do.
Someone has said that their wife has to wear a medical eye patch for a few minutes morning and night and might need to wear it longer because of the air conditioning. They believe she has to pay them. There is something specifically around how much, depending on whether she covers part of her face for less or more than 12 hours. Does this refer to 12 hours continuously or 12 hours accumulated during ihram?
You know, if you have got an iPad, it does not actually, you know, it's covering the most face. Even, you know, mask, some, you know, people go these days, they have got a mask because, you know, of pollution. It does not actually harm. People can do little covering of the face, eye or something like that. That's not a problem, especially when they got a medical condition. Yeah, if the full, you know, face is covered, then, you know, after that sadaqah, not a blood, not a dam, but some sadaqah. So, but generally, they should make effort to at least uncover some part of the face. So maybe if you want to cover the eye for time, yeah, or some like a mask for a while, that you can do. Most time you'll be at home and, you know, but when you need it, yeah, you can do still. There's no need, nothing, no kafara.
Ayat in Surat al-Nahl of 120 ayat, where it's talking about Ibrahim al-Islam, where inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifan. So I want to understand about the ummatan Ibrahim is being used. So why is it used, the ummatan? Like he was ummatan qanitan lillahi. Why Allah says like he was just a nation? Was a single nation?
No, no. Ummah does not mean nation. Also. Ummah has many meaning in the Quran itself. Ummah sometimes means a long time. Ummah also means imam. So Ibrahim is the imam. So inna Ibrahim kana ummatan mubalagha fi imam. Ibrahim is a certainly big leader. So ummah here means big leader. Qanitan, you know, fully devoted to Allah. You know, with full humility. So Allah called him ummah because he's imam. Everybody has to follow him. Amma ya ummu means to follow. So ummatun means somebody who's followed. Or ummatun also can mean those who follow. So followers also can be called ummah. And the one who's followed, he also can be ummah. So in Arabic, some words can be, you know, shared. So ummah here means imam. In Ibrahim, kana imaman. He was a big imam.
Okay, so he was actually, Ibrahim al-Islam, like, is a imam leading a single, he was called a single imam.
You know why he's called him imam? Because everybody had been commanded to follow him. He's imam because after Ibrahim al-Islam, all the prophets, all the messengers, all the fair followers, they must follow Ibrahim. So he became imam of all the mankind. You know, you don't need to see him. You know, meaning is you do things as he did. But you follow your own imam. When you pray, you follow imam. But actually, it's strictly following Ibrahim. Because all that's what he did. So imam, that's what Ibrahim is imam. Imam is the, Ibrahim has no time for imama. He is imam for all mankind in every time, every region. Wherever you are, Ibrahim is your imam.
So we are already in Saudi. So we'll be going from Taif to Mecca to do Umrah. This is the Matta. And then finishing Umrah. And then getting on the bus and going to Mina. So we were going to do the Halul coming out of Ihram on the bus. The question is, on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, is there a limit, a latest time, when we should have the Ihram of Hajj?
No, you can do Ihram of Hajj on the 9th as well. You know, spending time in the Mina is not actually for the wajib. Actually, you can do Ihram even on the 9th when you come to Arafat directly, you can come. So there's no harm. So people can come directly. They don't need to do Tawaf al-Qudum. They just come directly there, Tawaf. You know, these things are recommended, better. You know, if you have time, do nicely. You know, do a bath on the 8th, do Ihram, come to the Mina, stay the day there, then in the morning, 9th, go to Arafat. That's people do generally. But if you come directly to Arafat, there's no harm. That's fine.
Do you have to sleep in Ihram clothing, including the hijab? Can you swap, remove, and add layers during Ihram, i.e. socks, undergarments, and jackets? And can you change the ihram clothing because of sweat?
You can't actually put on any sewn clothes. You can change your ihram clothes. You can have two pairs, you know. You can have bath, you can have shower, you can clean yourself. You can take off one ihram, but you can't have any sewn clothes. You can't cover your face in the night when you sleep. Make sure your face is not covered. So these things are important. You can't put on any socks, anything, gloves, socks, nothing. So your any sewn clothes, they are not allowed for you in ihram. Same if you got shoes which covers your ankle, they are not allowed. You have, should have sandals which don't cover your ankles. So be very, very careful about this matter. Only a few days, really. So don't put on any sewn clothes. But you can change your ihram.
If I'm doing Hajj for my parents, what reward do I get for my Hajj? And will the reward for my parents be affected by the quality of my Hajj?
You know, you get actually, whenever people do something for someone else, Allah gives them the same reward. You will get more than that. And you are, this is big itself that you are, you know, doing a bir to your parent, meaning you are loyal to them, you want to serve them, you want to help them. That itself is a big reward. So you will get all the reward. Yeah, your insincerity will affect it. So if you do Hajj nicely, the Hajj will be better for them. So do things as best as possible with sincerity. Don't show off. Don't make all the photos and cameras and, you know, pictures are sharing over social media. You know, all those things stop really. Just do, don't, nobody knows you. Do Hajj in a way that nobody knows you. That will be much, much better for you. Just you and your Lord. To, as sincere you are, you should only worry about Allah. Allah knows. Like I like this story very much. There was an Indian Sufi disciple. So Sufi disciples, whenever they travel, they consult their master what to do. So his master was not there. So he said, okay, I'll go to Hindu master. Hindus are not Muslim. But this Hindu master, he knew Islam. So he said to him, I'm going for traveling and I don't have my peer, my sheikh. Can you advise me? So Hindu said to him that when you're traveling, think really, do you know Allah or not? He said, yeah, I know Allah, of course. He said, if you know Allah, then don't worry if you don't know anyone else. Then the Hindus asked him, does Allah know you? He said, yes. He said, if Allah knows you, then don't worry if nobody else knows you. So just think really, if you know Allah, don't worry about anybody else. If Allah knows you, don't worry about the people. Don't show off, don't mention anything. Just between you and your Lord.
My question is regarding, you know, the sunblocks and the creams, and they say like even shower cream, hand wash, it should be unscented. And it's a lot of the products during ihram, obviously. So is it permissible if you're putting sunblock and it's got some fragrance in it, which is not part of, obviously, if you're not putting fragrance, but it's inside the sunblock or this hand wash?
Yeah, something like that, you know, which is very light, really. It is not added. So they allow, especially for the people who are face are affected and they need some creams like that. So that will fine. That will not harm your ihram, inshallah.
Okay. So we don't have to give any kafara for that?
No, no, nothing. Yeah.
After we perform the first umrah, when we go, so my flight is to Medina first. We stay in Medina, and from Medina we go to Mecca. After we perform the first umrah, you said you have to shave the head, right? But within Dhul Hijjah, it's just my lack of knowledge. We're not allowed to cut our nails and hair or anything like that, right?
No, you can cut all these nails, everything, when you are not in ihram. So after you have done your umrah, you cut off your nails, your shave your head, everything, until you do ihram again. So when you go for Hajj, you put on ihram again. So why you can't cut it? When you are not in ihram, you can cut nail, you can do anything. Once you put on a ihram for the Hajj, then you can't do.
You know, the days leading up to the Hajj, you know, as in, because I've never done Hajj before. So when I'm here, they usually tell me like I'm not allowed to cut my nails.
Oh, no, no. These things are for those who don't do Hajj. Like for example, sacrifice, qurbani. People do sacrifice. Why? Because they're not in Hajj. But when you are the Hajj, there's no sacrifice. You know, and in Dhul Hijjah, people do sacrifice. Isn't like that? But those who are Hajj, they don't do any sacrifice. If you only do Hajj, there's no sacrifice. The only reason you do sacrifice there is because you join between Umrah and Hajj. So like a dam, but sacrifice. So whatever you do here, two rak'ah prayer for the Eid prayer, that's not there. If these things are done by the people who are not in Hajj, they do in the memory of that. But when you are there, even this thing, really cutting the knot, nail and all those things, it is actually disputed. So when you are Hajj, don't worry about that. You need to follow Hajj rituals, not Eid rituals. Eid rituals are for the people who are at home. Hajj even is different.
Do you have to shave the hair for men, or is trimming sufficient?
You know, the Prophet ﷺ said, رحم الله المحلقين. Then the companions of المقصرين, he said, رحم الله المعلقين. محلقين. The Prophet said, may Allah have mercy upon those who shave the head. The companions ask those who shorten. Then again, he said, may Allah have mercy upon those who shave the head. So he said three times for those who shave the head. And then the fourth time he said, those who shorten the hair. To shorten the hair, they also get mercy. But the preferred one is to shave the head. Some people think, you know, if I do Umrah and I shave my head, nothing will be left in Hajj time. No, still you can shave. So don't worry. Shaving the head is more important. So you, when you do Umrah, shave the head. Then after that you have done Hajj, again shave the head. You know, if there's nothing, still they can do something. So shaving the head has more reward.
If one makes six different mistakes during Hajj, would this person need to pay fidya six times? Or is it that the one time will be sufficient to cover the six mistakes?
No. If you have got different mistakes, which each mistakes actually are, you know, some mistakes are nothing. So you have to know this thing. Some mistakes only need sadaqah. Some needs sacrifice. Oh, not all the mistakes are same. People don't understand. I met in Hajj somebody from London. And he said, I done sacrifice of the animal, camel. I said, why did you sacrifice camel? He said, because I did some mistake in the Hajj. I said, what a mistake you did? He said, one of my hair was broken. So see, one hair broken, nothing happens. And one hair broken, you need to sacrifice camel. He sacrificed the camel for one hair broken. It's all actually ignorance. You know, maybe he gets reward because he has good intention. So not every mistake has got a sadaqah or, you know, to ask. Really. Some mistakes are very minor, small.
I would like to know whether the preparation for the Hajj journey should be, we should prepare like it's the last journey of the life. Do we need to prepare for a last will, as well as do we need to prepare arrangements for all the dependents?
You know, last journey means really, people do always ibadah, it is something they can't do it again. That should be done for the prayer as well. When you go for Maghrib prayer, for Zohar prayer, should think it is my last prayer. Do nicely. But it does not mean that you leave will at home, that I'm going to die. No, unless you have got symptoms, you know, somebody very old, they have got illness, they think they can't come back. Yeah, maybe. But if you are a healthy young man, you hope that you come back. There's no need to leave the will. There's no need for that. There's no sunnah like that. You can go without any will. But you should do ibadah as it is last ibadah. Yeah, that makes you to do much better. But there's no need to leave any will.
Can we go to Hajj or Umrah using a credit card to pay for it, or still having debts?
You know, the thing is, the debts, you know, is not right really. And I think Hajj is only obligatory upon you if you get enough money, you know, which covers your cost for the Hajj. And if you are married, then it also covers the expenses of your wife and children at home. Then Hajj is obligatory. But if you don't have means, then don't go for the Hajj. You know, going for the Hajj without being further, it will create more problem for you. It is not just, you know, tourism or just going for, you know, just enjoyment or things like that. If you don't have money, don't go. Don't borrow money for Hajj. You know, don't take any loan, nothing. Just, you know, pay for whatever cash. If you don't have, don't do Hajj.
Can we do multiple Umrahs while we are staying in Mecca?
Yeah, you can do this really. But the Prophet never did it. You know, he did only, when I was young, so I also was very excited. You know, first time when I went, every day I used to do three Umrahs. Every day, three Umrahs. Those days, very few people. So you can do very easily, very quickly, one Umrah. But now I don't do. I only do one Umrah in one journey because I know really there's no reward in this and there's no Sunnah. The Prophet in every journey, in one journey, only one Umrah. Even the Prophet did not do many Tawaf. He did only Tawaf, that part of the Hajj and Umrah. He never did extra Tawafs. So his Sunnah is better than, you know, other people's Sunnah. Just follow his Sunnah. But if you want to do, it's allowed. If people want to do more tawaf, more umrah, that's allowed.
For Hajj tamattu, when we arrive in Mecca, do we need to go straight to do umrah at the haram, or can we go to the hotel, take a shower, and then come for umrah?
That I said to you, you should go to hotel, you know, first put everything properly, your mind is content. If you want to have shower, you can have shower, then go for umrah. You don't need to do same day, actually, you can do next day, but you'll remain in the haram until you've done umrah. You can delay 2 days, 3 days, four, as you like. But you cannot put on your clothes until you have done Umrah. So you have to do, that's why people do Umrah as soon as possible.
For women, can they change their clothes and abayas, put on socks, jackets, however many times during Ihram and Hijab, Must they keep that on even during sleep?
Yeah, women can change. Everybody can change, but women should not cover the face. Covering the face is not allowed. But they can cover everything. They can change clothes as much as many times as they want. There's no problem in that. Changing the clothes is not a problem. You know, people think if you take off your clothes, you become out of ihram. Clothes are not ihram. Ihram is an intention. So when you change your clothes, still you are ihram. Ihram means intention. Cover, you know, the clothes is only condition. So people, you know, as long as women don't cover their face, they can change the clothes.
Do women need to remain in the same clothes they were wearing at the time of making the niyyah for Hajj, or can they change?
Well, that's what I said. You can change as much as possible. You know, intention is not connected with that cloth. Understand? Intention is something in mind. Clothes you can change 10 times a day. You know, nothing will happen. But I don't know why you need to take so many clothes anyway. But if you want to change, you can change. There's no harm. Change is not a problem.
Some Hanafi scholars say there are certain conditions which need to be met for Zohar and Asr to be combined on the day of Arafah. Is this correct, or should they be combined regardless?
You know, in these matters, there are so much different opinion. I'm just teaching you a simple thing. To wear your Arafat, one opinion, even Hanafi, either really, you can combine between Zohar and Asr, either behind the Imam, main Imam, or behind the Imam that you're praying in your tent, or yourself really. One opinion is there. To follow simple opinion, combine between two prayers, because doing wudu again, it's so difficult, and pray two rakah. So I would advise you, just combine, you know, follow this. There is opinion like that. Two rakah zohar, two rakah asr, and both in the time of the zohar. Either behind the imam or when you pray alone, you can do this.
I follow the Hanbali madhab for rulings whenever possible, for the ones that the knowledge that I have, right? But for Hajj, it's very hard to find the rulings for the actions about on Hanbali madhab. So what should I do? So far, what I do is I just follow trusted scholars like yourself or the scholars that I know, but I don't know what I should do in that sense, you know, because I don't want to be the person that picks and chooses from different madhabs.
You know, you don't need really to worry about that so much. I'm going to teach a course on madhab anyway. You don't that I'm trying to say is that once you become connected with Ibrahim, big thing, it doesn't really matter whether you follow in is minor thing, Abu Hanifa or Malik or Shafi, Muhammad. That nothing, it is very small thing really. Differences among the ulama are in very small things. Real thing is your heart, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Real thing, Arafat, Muzdalifa, Mina, sacrifice, big thing. But in those details, it doesn't really matter whether you this way, that way. Allah says, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. If you pray with khushu, it doesn't really matter whether you're Hanafi or Maliki or Hanbali or Shafi. And if you don't pray with khushu, it doesn't matter whether you're Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, Hanbali. Allah is not going to accept. Acceptance is based on the khushu. Do Hajj properly. In minor details, don't worry. If you don't find a Hanbali, follow Hanafi one. Don't find Hanafi Maliki one. Follow any of them. Or don't follow any of them. Do properly. Still, your Hajj will find, inshallah.
But Tawafi Ziyara and Tawafi Wida, can they be combined if you're running short?
Yeah, you're right. You can combine between. You know, what the reason is of Tawafi Wida? Tawafi Wida means last thing that you do in Makkah is salam to Allah. Al-salam is Tawaf. So if you have done Tawaf, Ziyara, and after that you're not going to stay, that's your Tawaf al-Wada. Like Tawaf al-Qudum. So whenever if you do Tawaf, and then after that you leave Makkah, that's fine. That will be your Tawaf al-Wada.
If someone is doing Qurbani in Makkah, do they also need to give their usual Qurbani that they give every year?
There's no Qurbani obligatory on the people in the Hajj. Actually, there's no Qurbani at all in Islam on the travelers. If you're traveling, there's no Qurbani. Qurbani is where you're staying at home. So you don't need to do any Qurbani. You do what you do in Hajj, that's all. Don't worry about Qurbani. Qurbani is not obligatory on any traveler. And especially on the people who are doing Hajj, there's no Qurbani. Qurbani is for those who don't go for Hajj. So they have to do in the memory of the Hajj. They celebrate here. But those who have gone for Hajj, they're doing something better. They don't need to do Qurbani. Is it clear? There's no need for any Qurbani for those who are in the Hajj. And I said, actually, even for any traveler, if you're traveling somewhere, then Qurbani is forgiven. You don't need to Qurbani.
For Hajj Tamattu, we are going to Mecca first, so we'll do Umrah, then we're going to Medina for a day, and then returning back to Mecca. When returning back to Mecca, should we do Umrah again? Which Umrah counts as the Umrah for Hajj Tamattu?
The first one that we'll do, you'll be Hajj Tamattu Umrah, But when you come back again from Medina, do Umrah, that's good. Because you know, you're coming from the Miqat. You can do Ihram for the Hajj from, you don't need to do Umrah. If your time is very short, then from Muzdalifah, just make intention for the Hajj. And that Ihram will go for the Hajj. Up to you. If you want to do Umrah, then come out from the Haram, then do intention of Ihram again, Hajj again, up to you. But your, you know, Umrah, Tamattu means, any Umrah between which and Hajj, there is short period when you are not in Haram. So one Umrah is part of your Hajj Tamattu. You don't need to know which one.
Sheikh, is it possible for me to make a Umrah or Hajj on behalf of a parent who's passed away?
Yeah, you can do Hajj and Umrah on behalf of anybody who passed away, your mother or father or somebody. But for one person, one Hajj for one person. You can't make for both of them one Hajj. To one Hajj for your mom, maybe you do Umrah for your father or something like that. Yeah, you can do on behalf of the people who have passed.
So you said about the Qurbani, normally we would give for our family. So we'd give for the whole family, right? So you'd give for your children and everything. But if you're not taking your family, should you still give for them, or should you just, you're not giving for yourself, but should you still give for them, like for your wife and your children, etc.?
Yeah, if Qurbani is not obligatory, in Hanafi madhab, Quran is obligatory on those who are wealthy. If your wife has wealth, money, so she will do Qurbani from herself, not from your money. You are traveling. And your children, you don't need Qurbani for them. That Hanafi position is. But my own thinking really is, in this matter, Hanafi opinion is weak. A strong opinion is Imam Malik's one. Imam Malik's opinion is, one Qurbani suffice for the whole family. That's what Ibrahim did. Ibrahim alayhi salam did, when Allah, Ibrahim wanted to sacrifice his son, Allah sent one ram that he did for himself, for Ismail, or for his wife Hajar. So for one family, one animal is enough. But to anyway, if you are in Hajj, according to Hanafi madhab, there's no obligation on your family anyway, because they don't earn any money. They are not rich.
Is there any more virtue in staying in Mina until the 13th Dhul-Hijjah rather than leaving on the 12th Dhul-Hijjah?
Quran said both are the same. Quran said, man ta'ajjala, those who come earlier, they're fine. Wa man ta'akhara fa ithma alayhi, both are fine. But if you stay there until the sun sets on the 12th, sun sets, then it becomes obligatory to spend one more night there. But if you leave Mina before the sunset of the 12th, then fine, they don't need to come back. So both are the same thing, whether you stay there until 12th or 13th. But keep in mind, if you leave Mina on 12th late, and while you are in Mina, sun sets, then it becomes obligatory upon you to spend one more night in Mina.
For women, if they get clean after menses whilst being in Mecca, do they need to go to the Miqat to wear their ihram again, or they can just make their niyyah in hotel for ihram?
No, they've got already ihram anyway. So when they went to Mecca, they were ihram, and now they got menstruation, so they remain the ihram. Ihram does not need to change. And then after that, when the menstruation is gone, they have bath and they go for tawaf. They don't need to go for ihram anyway. Ihram of the Hajj is done from where you are. You don't need to go to anywhere. If they want to do Umrah, extra Umrah, yeah, then they need to go to Masjid Aisha or somewhere else, where they do. But if they want to Hajj, for the Hajj, they don't need to go anywhere. That Ihram will be enough.
For those who do not do Hajj, how about the Qurban? Should they do Qurban in their place? Because now we have some offers to do Qurban in other place, like in for the refugees or in the poor countries. Can they, is it the same reward? Sometimes local is quite expensive. Can we go for the Hajj in other country because of the price is lower, just because we want to get the reward?
Thing really is, people should not be confused between different ibadat. Helping poor people, feeding them is sadaqah, is one reward. Sacrifice is another, qurbani, udhiyya is another virtue. That you should do at home really. So your children can see the meat, you can see the meat, you can eat, you can experience. That you should not do somewhere else in the world. If you want to do more than one sacrifice, that's fine. One do at home, and then do second one in a poor country. But if you're doing only one sacrifice, then do at home where you are. Your children need to know what sacrifice means, what qurbani means. You know, people don't understand it. People think, you know, I'm rich enough and we eat anyway. Poor people don't eat, so I made up my qurbani there. It's not qurbani, it's sadaqah. Sadaqah is a different word. Qurbani means you see the meat. You distribute among the people. You are involved. Your children see, your family see. So I'll advise you, people should do qurbani wherever they're staying for your their family. And they need to do more than one. If they want, then yeah, they can do one somewhere else. But one qurbani do in the place where you're staying, even if it's expensive. Like people living in England, it's expensive. And if they give a little money in India, it is cheaper. But no, you have to do qurbani where you live. So do there. And my fatwa is one qurbani is enough for the whole family. So if you do qurbani, it will be good for your wife, your children, those who live with you. It will be all fine. Because that, I think, is a strong argument. And that Imam Malik's opinion is. And that's what Ibrahim did, alayhi salam. He did one sacrifice, and that was enough for him, for his son, and for his wife.
Sorry, Sheikh. That means the reward is not the same.
Why not same? It's a reward.
For the other countries, like what they are offering now.
No, if you don't do it at your home and do somewhere else, certainly, it's not be the same reward. It means you're going to spend less money. It's like sadaqah. But sacrifice should be done where you live.
Even they say it is for sacrifice?
Yeah, you make it. I'm trying to say that, you know, qurbani means you see the meat, you experience, your family experience. You send money somewhere like giving charity. You don't see anything, nothing. Nothing is there. So you get some reward anyway. But I think the best thing for qurbani is to do where you live.
I wanted to ask, what is your opinion on women taking the medication to stop the period, please, for Hajj?
No, that's fine. If they help, really, that's good. Because women get more difficulty, you know, all these things. If that can help them, that should do.
Can we spend a few days in Jeddah without putting on the ihram, then put on the ihram after, then go to Umrah?
Yeah, that's fine. You know, you are only put ihram when you go to Makkah. You know, you don't need to put ihram to go to Jeddah. If you're going to stay in Jeddah, meet some relatives, some friends, yeah, that's fine. There's no ihram. But once you make intention, now you want to go to Umrah or Hajj, then put on ihram and then do. So in Jeddah, you can remain without ihram. There's no harm in that.
Similarly, we have a similar question, which is asking, we will be leaving for Hajj from Ta'if and we will go to Mecca for Umrah on the 7th of Dhul Hijjah. After finishing, we will come out of ihram. We will then go to Mina, spend the night, and then we'll enter Ihram for Hajj on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. Is there any deadline for entering Ihram on the 8th?
No, you can do on the 8th. You can do even on the 9th, really. If you do Ihram on the 9th, it's still fine. You need to have Ihram before you go to Arafat.
For females, does your mahram need to cut your hair after completing Hajj or Umrah?
No, anybody can cut. The women can cut each other's hair. Somebody can cut her own hair. You know, that's not a problem. You know, just you take a little bit and with the scissor, you can cut, or somebody else can cut your hair.
I just need to know clarified, which is for, we live in England. England, we do one qurbani, which is for one sheep, about 200 and 300 pounds. And if I adding 500 pounds, you can do different county. So Sheikh said, if you do this county, it was better. But better, I understand, because me and my husband, my kids, if I do one by one, maybe go 1,000 or 2,000 pounds. So I cannot afford 2,000 pounds. If I do different country, so one cow, maybe seven people. So what's the difference? If I do one sheep in this country, it will be okay. Or you can do, need to do seven sheep or seven goat or anything. Just need to clear for me, please. Thank you.
You know that what I'm saying is for one household, meaning is husband, wife, children. You know, for the one house, people who live in the same house, for them, one sacrifice is enough. One sheep. To whatever, you know, price is, just one is enough. If you want to do somewhere else, you can do, but it is not the same reward. Reward will be when you do at home where you are living. So one enough is enough. You don't need to spend 1,000 pounds. Just one sacrifice will be around 300. I don't know what price is now. Just one is enough for whole family.
Do you have to do qurbani while you are in Hajj at Makkah?
You know, when you go for Hajj and Umrah, there's no qurbani at all. Qurbani is for the people who don't go for Hajj. So they celebrate, they want to be part of the people who are doing Hajj. once you are in a Hajj, then no Qurbani. But what happens in the Hajj, if you do Umrah, then you get off from Ihram, then you do Hajj. That's called Hajjut Tamattu. If you do Hajjut Tamattu, then you need to offer sacrifice, dam. That is different. That's not Qurbani. That is damut tamattu. You have to sacrifice. But if you don't do Umrah, only you do Hajj, then there's no dam, no sacrifice at all. But if you combine between Umrah and Hajj, then you need to offer a sacrifice. And for everybody separately, if your wife is going for Hajj and both of do tamattu, both of you have to do your own sacrifice separately. Because each one do tamattu. But if you are doing Qurbani at home, when you are here, one is enough.
Can women go alone for Hajj with their own money or with a group? Is that sufficient?
You know, generally, okay, because, you know, traveling for women is not always safe, really. Even though people have allowed, I advise either you go with your mahram, and if you don't have mahram, go in a group of the people. There are women going, be part of the group. They know you, so that is fine. But don't travel alone, because these countries are not very safe for the women to travel alone. Even Makkah and Medina, people have said, meet so many stories. So, and even when you are with the mahram, when you go from hotel to the haram, don't go alone, because there's so many cases. Always go with group or with some men.